Ajma'in. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. We'd like to continue, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. This is the lesson on the ahkam, the legal principles or rules, the adab, the etiquette, and possibly the bid'ah of Salatul Istikhara. And it is, inshallah, the day before Mina, inshallah, the first day of Hajj, the seventh day of Dhul Hijjah, 1417, corresponding with the 14th day of April, 1997, after Salatul Maghrib, here at Masjid al-Muslimin in Brooklyn, New York. We'd like to continue with the explanation of the dua of al-istikhara. The next statement of the Messenger of Allah, of where we left off last night, وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And the meaning of this is, and power from your might. And power from your might. Because the dua begins, O Allah, I ask guidance from your knowledge. And then the next statement, وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And power, meaning I ask power from your might. The meaning of this, according to the scholars of Islam, is that I ask from you, O Allah, to give me power over this thing. I ask you, O Allah, to give me power over this thing. أَطْلُبُ مِنْكَ أَن تُقَدِّرَنِي عَلَيْهِ أَوْ تَقْدِرَنِي عَلَيْهِ. I ask from you, O Allah, to give me ability or power, meaning let me have the ability to control this thing that I'm asking for. And another narration in some of the narrations from An-Nasa'i, because An-Nasa'i is also one of the people who collected this narration. The dua says, وَأَسْتَعِينُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. Instead of saying, وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ, it says, وَأَسْتَعِينُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ, which means, like we say, إِيَاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Here is أَسْتَعِينُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ. And I seek the assistance by your power. I seek assistance by your power, meaning I ask of you the awn. I ask from you, O Allah, the help. عَلَى ذَلِكَ, over that. If it's good, and of course we don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the assistance over if it's bad, so of course it implies that this thing is khayr. And this also is a form of tawassul. And for those of us who want a further explanation on what is tawassul, we can look at the book that I believe is sold in the bookstore, I'm not sure here, called At-Tawassul, which is translated, I know he's going to be upset if he ever hears this, but I consider him the translator of our time. Abu Talha Dawood ibn Ronald Bergman. Translated by him, and it is written by our Shaykh Abu Abdurrahman Al-Albani Hafizahullah Ta'ala, called At-Tawassul. And you can get a further explanation of that. As for the next section, or the next part of the dua, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had us say, Alaykum Salaam. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ. And I ask you for your great blessing. I ask you for your great blessing. Meaning, أَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. And we all know what fadl is. This is this thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the human being, which we translate into the English language. And this is part of the dua that we say when we exit the masjid with our left foot. Right? The dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Oh Allah, I ask you for your fadl. In this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the sifa, or the not, or the adjective, to the idafa construction, the mudaf and the mudaf ilayhi, fadlikal azim. He attached to Allah's fadl, making it fadl al azim. فضلك العظيم وأسألك من فضلك العظيم, meaning, oh Allah, this is not any type of fadl, it's your great, tremendous fadl. This is what we ask in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the meaning of this is, I ask of you from your fadl, لِأَنَّكَ مُتَفَضِّلْ. لِأَنَّكَ مُتَفَضِّلْ. Because you, Allah, are the one who is possessing all of the fadl. And you are the one who extends the fadl. You are the one who possesses all the fadl, and you are the one who gives all the fadl. وَكُلَّ عَطَائِكَ فَضْلٌ مِنْكَ وَمِنَّا. And everything that is from you that is given is a fadl and is a boon. That's what the meaning of this is. It is a fadl and it's a boon, meaning it's a bounty. So this means that we are recognizing, when we say وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ, we're recognizing that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is the owner of all bounty and blessings and boon and favors and grace. Anything of good that is bestowed on a human being, it all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Excuse me, young brothers, you come up here, come up here. All of you come up here, sit up here, right in the front. Right in front of these older brothers. Sit in front of your elders. Come here, right here. Sit right there. I'm going to ask you some questions when we finish, alright? Everybody, fill in the gaps up here. Come on, yalla! Hurry up. Bisura. See these brothers sitting behind you, these older brothers? Look at their faces. Turn around, look at these brothers' faces. Turn around, look at them. These older brothers. One day, inshallah, you're going to be just like these older brothers you're looking at. Turn around, look at them. You're going to be just like these older brothers. See the gray hair? See Abdul Karim said his gray hair? You're going to have gray hair and everything. Long beards. So you better sit down and learn this deen, learn Islam. You understand? You hear me? Huh? You have to learn this deen. Because one day, these brothers are going to die. And you're going to have to take over. So you have to know these things we're talking about. Alright? So we're going to ask you some questions. Okay? Alright. So listen. The next thing that the... What are we talking about tonight anyway? What are we talking about? Istikhara, mashallah. Ahsan. Okay. The next thing the Prophet talked about in the statement, this dua, he said, فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Hey, you paying attention? He said, you, O Allah, are capable and I am not capable. You, O Allah, are capable and I am not capable. Do you young brothers know what capable means? You don't know what capable means? Capable means able. It means you're able to do something. Let me ask you a question. Do you think I'm capable of lifting this minbar? Just bend down and lifting it up? That brother right there probably could do it, right? This one, he's bigger than me, right? You don't think he can do it? Well, that's what capable means. Capable means that you're able to do something. Incapable means you're not able to do it. What's the word again? Capable. Alright, now, in this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. Oh Allah, you're able. You're capable, and I'm not capable. What is Allah capable of doing? Anything He wants to do. Right? But the human beings can't do that, right? So we recognize this. And the Prophet recognized it too. And this means, أَنَّكَ تَبَارَكْتَ وَتَعَالَيْتَ الَّذِي لَكَ الْقُدْرَةَ الْكَامِلَةَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That you, O Allah, the blessed and the exalted, hey, sit down. You are the one, O Allah, who is the blessed and exalted. You are the one that has all the ability, the complete, perfect ability over everything. Allah can do anything He wants. Right? Okay. And we're also saying when we say this, وَلَا قُدْرَةَ لِي وَلَا لِأَحَدٍ دُونَ إِرَادَتِكَ وَقُدْرَتِكَ. And there's no power, no strength, no ability with me or with anybody else except by your will and by your power. That's what this statement means. فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. In other words, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants somebody to do something that they're not able to do, all they have to do is say, "Oh Allah, let me do it." And Allah can make them do it. For instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing in the salat one day, leading the people in the salat in the masjid. Normally, you can't see behind you if you look in front, into the front, right? If somebody's facing this way, they can't see behind them if they turn around, unless there's a mirror or something in front of them, right? But Allah gave the Prophet the ability to look behind him and see somebody's chest sticking out the row when they weren't supposed to be straightened in the row. He said, "I see you behind me with your chest sticking out." How can he do that without Allah giving him the ability to do that? He can't do that, right? So Allah can give anybody ability to do anything he wants, anytime he wants, even if they're not able to do it, right? So if he wants me to lift up this minbar with my pinky, Allah can do it, right? If Allah wanted to give me the ability to lift up this minbar, you want to see me do it now? You want to see me do it? Huh? Watch. "Oh Allah, give me the ability to lift up this with my pinky." My dua didn't work that time. But next time, inshallah, I might be able to do it, alright? So now, فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. "Oh Allah, you have the ability, and I don't have the ability." So now, what did we just talk about, brothers? You young brothers. Huh? We didn't talk about pinkies, did we? Oh, what did we talk about? Ability. And who has all the ability? Okay. Well, these older brothers better look out. Y'all, you brothers are learning too much. You're going to move them out of their places. The next thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. You know and I do not know, and you know everything that is hidden and unseen. You know and I do not know, and you are the knower of all that is hidden from our view and unseen. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. This means أَنَّكَ الْعَلِيمُ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ لَا يُعْزَبُ عَنْ عِلْمِكَ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَتَعْلَمُ الْخَيْرَ لِي فِي تَحْقِيقِ أَمْرِي وَتَرْكُهُ إِذْ أَنَا لَا أَعْلَمُ ذَلِكَ. That you are Al-Alim. Who is Al-Alim? Allah. He is the knower of everything. علام الغيوب. He is the knower of everything that is hidden. لا يعزب عن علمك شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. And there is nothing that escapes or can hide from Allah's knowledge that's in the earth or in the heavens. وتعلم الخير. And you, Allah, know the good for me. بتحقيق أمري. To make whatever affair I have come to a realization. Whatever the affair or the matter that I have, you Allah know what it is that is going to happen for me, that is going to be the realization of my affairs, or in addition to this, or if it's going to be left off. If it's going to happen or if it's not going to happen, and I don't have knowledge of anything. This is the meaning of that. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma in kunta ta'lamu anna hadha al-amr." Oh Allah, if you know that this, and they translated in al-Bukhari, if you know that this job is good, or if you know that this thing is good. This part of the narration, some of the ulama, they differ. Some of them say that the meaning of this is, "Ya Allah, oh Allah, وَأَعَادَ النِّدَاءَ لِمَا فِيهِ مِنَ الرَّغْبَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ." Oh Allah, and then the person now returns to using Allahumma, because in the beginning of the dua, some of the ulama say this is a key point, because in the beginning of the dua, the very first word that's used is Allahumma. And then the Prophet abandons saying Allahumma. Then he comes back to saying again, Allahumma. And there's a reason for this. Because now the person's attention is being turned back to who they're talking to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet uses the nida. Not Ya Allah, but Allahumma. And we know that saying Allahumma is more higher than saying Ya Allah. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
He explained to us in his actions and in his statements, there's four different ways you say Rabbana lakal hamd when you come out of ruku'. Anybody know them? Any brothers know them? Huh? When you come from ruku', when you're in salah, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana lakal hamd. That's one, right? What's the next one? Rabbana wa lakal hamd. What's the next one? Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd. That's the third one. And the fourth one? Allahumma rabbana wa lakal hamd. Rabbana lakal hamd. Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd. And Allahumma rabbana wa lakal hamd. And the top one on the list is Allahumma rabbana wa lakal hamd. With Allahumma. Now, Allahumma means, oh Allah. Oh Allah. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of the desire for Allah and to be close to Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, Allahumma, if you know that this thing or this matter, now we're going to stop there. If you know that this thing or this matter, and then the dua goes on, does this suggest that Allah doesn't know? If the Prophet said, oh Allah, if you know, yes, it does suggest that? Very good. How old are you? 6? That's an excellent answer from a 6-year-old. Allahu Akbar. This statement, in kunta ta'alam, if you know, doesn't mean that there is doubt in the knowledge of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It only means, as the ulama say, وَإِنَّمَا يَرْجُعُ إِلَىٰ عَدَمِ عِلْمِ الْعَبْدِ بِمُتَعَلَّقٍ عِلْمِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. That it only refers to showing the lack of knowledge of the slave himself connected to the ilm or the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذْ يَسْتَحِيلُ أَنْ يَكُونَ خَيْرًا وَلَا يَعْلَمُهُ الْعَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Because it's impossible that the good would not be known by Allah who is Al-Alim and Al-Khabir. It's impossible. And remember, there's no questions. You weren't here last night, were you? You're not taking any questions. Alright? Because we have all the questions written down and we're going to answer them inshaAllah. Then the next statement is, خَيْرٌ لِي فِي دِينِ وَمَعَاشِ وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي. If you know Allah, that this affair is good for my deen, for my sustenance and in my hereafter. This means في ديني وعيشي في هذه الدار والدار الآخرة وقدم الدين لأنه الأهم في جميع الأمور فإنه إذا سلم الدين فالخير حاصل وإذا اختل الدين فلا خير بعده. Oh Allah, we're asking, if you know that this thing is good for me in my deen, and my livelihood, or my sustenance, and in my hereafter, meaning in my deen, and in my life of this life, and the next life, to make my deen firm and established, because it is the most important thing out of all my affairs, the most important thing in all my affairs, are the affairs of the deen. And if the deen, the ulama say, this means, is safe, then it's going to be good. And the good is going to be acquired. And if the deen is shaky, then there's no deen after this. I mean, there's no good after this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is actually the companion who narrated it, who said, "A'ajili amri wa ajilihi." Or he said, if it is better for my present and latter needs. And in this part of the hadith is not actually from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something that the ulama, they call tadarruj. They call this tadarruj. This is the statement, or it's a form, excuse me, of tadarruj. Meaning it's the statement of the Sahabi, but he doesn't know exactly if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri, or he said, ajili amri wa ajili. But the meaning is exactly the same, meaning in this life and in the next. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Taqdurhu li wa yassirhu li." If it is so, then you ordain it for me, O Allah, and make it easy for me. You brothers listening? Ordain it for me, O Allah, then make it easy for me. Meaning, اجعله مقدرا لي أو قدره. وقيل معناه يسره لي أي ادخله تحت قدرتي. It means, make it, O Allah, the thing that's going to be decreed, make the thing decreed in my favor and make it easy for me and put it under my ability. Put it under my ability so I'll be able to control it, be able to harness it, be able to manage it, so it won't get away from me, and I'll be able to take care of this thing. And if Allah does that, then nobody can do anything about it. Because there is no giver from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds, and there is no withholding from that which Allah gives. And then the next statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this dua was, ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ. Then bless me in it. Then bless me in it. Then you, O Allah, ordain it for me and make it easy for me to get, and then bless me in it. Which means, O Allah, multiply and enrich it for me. Multiply it and enrich it for me, because when Allah gives you something, it doesn't necessarily mean that you got a blessing. Just because you have something, that doesn't mean you're blessed. Just because you have 15 children, or you have a beautiful face, you have long hair, or you have a BMW, this doesn't mean that you're blessed. Just because you have a lot of money, just because you have a lot of property, it doesn't mean that you're blessed. The blessing is you utilizing that thing for the Akhirah, for the betterment of the Muslims in this life, and for the Akhirah, for the next life. That's the blessing in it. The person who has a lot of ilm and they have bad character, this is not a blessing to have a lot of ilm. The person who has a good voice and he lies with it, he backbites with it, she slanders people, she transmits namima. This is not a blessing to have a good voice. But the good voice, the money, the clothes, the cars, all this is when the person utilizes it for al-Islam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. And if you know, Allah, that this thing is شَرٌ لِي فِي دِينِ وَمَعَاشِ وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي. If it's evil for me in my deen, and in my sustenance, my livelihood, and in the next life, which is the opposite meaning of that which the Prophet said for the one part of it that is good. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it's evil, Allah, fasrifhu anni. Then keep it away from me. Meaning, ba'id bayni wa baynahu bi'adami i'ta'ika al-qudrati li alayhi bit-ta'wiqi wat-ta'sir. Meaning, keep it and me far away from each other. In other words, don't give it to me by your ability and your power, and don't let me have power over it. Don't let me have ability over it. And don't make it difficult and bothersome for me. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wasrifhu anni wasrifni anhu. O Allah, keep it far away from me and me far away from it. And this is a very important part of this dua, because the Prophet could have just said, fasrifhu anni, keep it far away from me, but he didn't have to say, and keep me far away from it. Allah can keep it far away from you, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be far away from that. You can still be approaching that thing, still going after it, still chasing it. As someone said to me today about the thrill and the chase, you can still be chasing it, and this is going to be a fitna. It will be a fitna for you. So Allah makes it easy by us asking Allah, because if it was up to us to formulate the words for istikhara, like some of us do, we would say anything. But Allah chose the words for us. فَصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي, keep it far away from me, and وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ, keep me far away from it. وَقْدُرْ لِي الْخَيْرَ حَيْثُ كَانَ, and ordain for me whatever is good for me. Ordain for me whatever is good for me. Meaning, يَسِّرْهُ لِي وَهَيِّئُهُ وَقَدِّرُهُ. Meaning, make it easy for me, prepare it for me, and give me ability and power over it. ثُمَّ رَدِّينِي بِهِ. In another narration, أَرْضِينِي بِهِ. Then the Prophet ended it by saying, and make me satisfied with it. Make me pleased with it. Because if you wanted that sister, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that you can't get her, and he makes her away from you and you away from her, and you really wanted to marry her, you're going to have a real big problem if you're not pleased with the verdict of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps her away from you, you're going to be really sad. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you not to have the evil in that person, that's one of the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you marry a woman, put your hand on her forehead right before you consummate it and make that dua. What's the dua, brothers? You don't know the dua? That's the reason probably you're having the problems you're having in your marriage. Because you didn't make the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and asking for the good in what she was created and the good in what she put in her nature, and all Allah keep away from the evil that's in her and the evil which is in her nature. You put your hand on her forehead and you make that dua. And if you don't do that, then Allah might give you a fitna. Same thing goes for the brothers, but you don't put your hand on his forehead, sisters. That's only for the men. And if that happens, if Allah keeps you away from him or her away from you, then you should ask Allah, ثُمَّ أَرَضِينِي بِهِ. Oh Allah, make me please. Please with what? Oh Allah, اجعلني راضياً بوجوده إن وجد وبعدمه إن عدم والرضا إلى القدر والقضاء. Oh Allah, make me please with the existence of it if it happens and it becomes existent, and the lack of it or being staying away from me if it doesn't come, and make me pleased with the decree and the occurrence of the decree. And the occurrence of the decree. And this dua, some of the ulama say that this dua, at the end of it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then the person names, or the companion said, then the person names that which he wants, and there's some differences of opinion on this, if he says it if after the part, if you know this thing is good for me, or he says it at the end of the dua, and Allah knows best. And lastly, the narration that is in Nasa'i, and this is lastly meaning the end of the meaning of this dua, there's another narration in Nasa'i, other than al-Bukhari, that says, وَقْدُرْهُ لِيَ الْخَيْرُ حَيْثُ كَانَ ثُمَّ أَرْضِنِي بِقِضَائِكَ. Oh Allah, make me satisfied with it wherever it may be, and give me the good of it, and make me pleased with the occurrence of the decree. With the occurrence of the decree. Some of the philosophers of Islam among the Arabs regarding some of the benefits of al-istikhara, they say, من أعطى أربعا لم يمنع أربعا. Whoever is given four, or whoever gives four, he won't be prevented from four. Whoever gives four, he won't be prevented from four. Or he won't prevent four. First one, من أعطى شكر لم يمنع المزيد. Whoever gives thanks, he won't be prevented from be giving an increase. Whoever gives thanks, he won't be prevented لم يمنع المزيد. He won't be prevented from an increase. In other words, every time you give thanks, Allah increases you. If you want your provisions increased, then thank Allah. The second one, وَمَنْ أَعْطَى أَوْ وَمَنْ أُعْطِيَ التَّوْبَةَ وَمَنْ أَعْطَى التَّوْبَةَ لَمْ يُمْنَعْ مِنَ الْقُبُولِ. Whoever gives tawbah, in other words, whoever makes tawbah, then he won't be prevented from it being accepted. Number three, وَمَنْ أَعْطَى الْإِسْتِخَارَ لَمْ يُعْنَى لِلْخَيْرَ. Whoever gives al-istikhara, meaning whoever does al-istikhara, he won't be prevented from the good of it. وَمَنْ أَعْطَى مَشُورَ لَمْ يُمْنَعْ مِنَ الصَّوَابِ. And whoever gives counsel, seeking advice through counsel, mutual consultation, he will not be prevented from that which is correct. This is some of the statements, not a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this is some of the statement of the philosophers of the past. As for the benefit from the hadith itself, some of the benefits of the hadith are as follows. Firstly, the importance of al-istikhara for the person towards his love, towards his Lord tabarak wa ta'ala. It shows the importance of al-istikhara from the human being towards their love, towards their Lord tabarak wa ta'ala. Number two, the extreme, dire, important intention of the Salah of the Sahara and its dua, of which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a simile between the obligation of it and the Quran. Number three, the affirmation of the attribute of the knowledge of Allah. Number four, the attribute, the affirmation and confirmation of the attribute of the ability of Allah. These are benefits from the hadith. Number five, the confirmation and affirmation of Allah's knowledge of those things that are hidden, and that He is Alamul Ghuyub. Number six, the affirmation of the Salat al-Tatawwur, or superadditory prayers, and that they're done by twos. That's another benefit we get by from this hadith, the proof that superadditory prayers are done in twos. Number seven, the excellent quality of at-tawassul, by the names, the auspicious names and sublime perfect attributes of Allah. Number eight, the tranquility of the soul in the decree of Allah and that which He, and the occurrence of the decree. Number nine, the compassion we gain from the hadith, the compassion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You young brothers listening? You listening? Okay. The compassion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his ummah, because he taught them all of the things that are going to benefit them in the dunya and the akhirah. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned to us that he is like the person to us, he is like the man who is standing at a bonfire shooing the moths away from the bonfire so they won't fall in. That's the way the message of Allah is to us. The message of Allah is to us like a man standing over a bonfire shooing the moths away from the bonfire so they won't fall into the fire. That's how much the message of Allah loved us and had compassion for us. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Also, number 10 we gain from this hadith, that the good and the evil are from the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because the slave of Allah, if he had the ability to invent or contrive something, it wouldn't be able to be an argument for him to avert that thing. If the human being had the ability to invent what he wanted for himself, the human being would not be able to have an argument of avoiding that thing or diverting that thing from himself. And we're going to come to a deeper meaning of this, inshallah. Number 11, the precaution and the affirmation of the narrations of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah pertaining to al-istikhara. Number 12, the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us His bounty and His boon and His favors. And number 13, it shows that a small matter, no matter how small it is, no matter how small it is, if we show that we're in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that act might become great and magnificent. If we show that we're in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then al-istikhara, out of many things, shows that the person is in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that particular act will become great, even if it's small. Now, we'd like to get to the meat, inshallah. You brothers listening? You sure? Okay. We'd like to get to some of the questions that some people might have about Salatul Istikhara. First question. هل تحصل صلاة الاستخارة بركعتين من السنن الرواتب وتحية المسجد وغيرها من النوافل? Is it possible to make Salatul Istikhara two rak'ahs of sunnah prayers or tahiyat al-masjid or any other two rak'ah prayers from among the nawafil prayers? Is it possible that Salatul Istikhara can be attained by making two rak'ah of any sunnah prayers? Like for instance, can a person make two rak'ah of zuhur sunnah, or two rak'ah of asr sunnah, or two rak'ah after maghrib sunnah, or two rak'ah before Isha sunnah, or tahiyat al-masjid, or the two rak'ah that you make after you make wudu, or any other nawafil prayers? Is it possible to use that salah, those two rak'ah, for salatul istikhara? is it possible? The answer, according to Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, is, he said, الظاهرُ أنها تحصل. And this is mentioned in his book called Al-Azkar, page 110, the book called Zikrs. He said, the obvious nature of this is that, yes, those raka'ah, those two raka'ah of different types of supererogatory prayers can be used for salatul istikhara. It can be used for salatul istikhara, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next question, does salatul istikhara have a specified time? This is a big issue among a lot of Muslims. Some Muslims will wait till Friday night around the time of Qiyamul Layl to make Salatul Istikhara. Does Salatul Istikhara have a specified time? Yarhamakum Allah. The answer, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has not stipulated a specified time for Salatul Istikhara. فذهب الجمع إلى جوازها في جميع الأوقات والأكثرون على أنها في غير أوقات الكراهة. And that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not made a specific time for Salat al-Istikhara. And many of the people of Islam, they have the opinion that it's permissible to do it at all times. Even some of the people say you can do it at the prohibited times. There are others who say that you cannot. But many of them say that you can make Salat al-Istikhara at the prohibited times, and some, the majority of the people of Islam say you can't. But the reality is, Salat al-Istikhara is not like Tahiyat al-Masjid or any of the other Salat. It doesn't have a specific time, nor does it have a specific place. Therefore, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't mention a specific time, or he didn't mention a specific place, like Tahiyat al-Masjid can't be made down at the mall, like some people do. Some people say, oh, I'll make tahiyat al-masjid in my house, so when I get to the masjid, I won't make two rak'ah. No, seriously. No, tahiyat al-masjid has a specific place. You don't make tahiyat al-masjid at Malcolm Shabazz school where we're going to have the lecture. You don't walk into the gymnasium and make two rak'ah. Tahiyat al-masjid has a specific place. Just like Zuhr and Asr and Maghrib have a specific time. As for Salat al-Istikhara, it doesn't have a specific place, and it doesn't have a stipulated time. Therefore, you can do it any time you want, and even, the strongest of opinion is, even if that time is one of the times of karaha, one of the prohibited times. Why? What if somebody has said to you, you have a visa for Hajj, for instance. You have your visa for Hajj, you have your ticket, you have your passport, right? But you don't have any more money. You flat broke. No, we won't use that because that's a wajib act. We can't use that. Don't use that. Let's say that there's an important fair, whatever it is. You have to go into business with someone, and you finally have the money to go into business with them, and the situation is that is at hand is right there in your face. And it's after Asr prayer. What do? You make Salat al-Istikhara. No problem. You make Salat al-Istikhara after Salat al-Asr, and there won't be any problem, inshaAllah ta'ala. The next question. How many raka'ahs are there for Salat al-Istikhara? The amount of raka'ahs for Salat al-Istikhara are mentioned in the hadith itself, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, companion Jabir said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when any of you has an important matter, then make wudu and make it well. فَلْيَرُكَعْ رَكَعَتَيْنِ. Then make two raka'ahs, غَيْرُ فَرِيضًا, meaning of non-obligatory prayer. So this is the proof that Salat al-Istikhara is two raka'ah and not one raka'ah or three raka'ah or something like this. Next question. The recitation in Salat al-Istikhara, is it permissible to make some type of recitation after Al-Fatiha? Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah said, يَقْرَأُ فِي الْأُولَى بَعْدَ الْفَاتِحَةِ بِقُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And in الثانية,
قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Imam al-Nawawi says that in the first rak'ah of your Salat al-Istikhara, you say قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ after al-Fatiha, and in the second rak'ah you say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. In commenting on this, one of the great scholars of Islam, Al-Iraqi, said, I don't find anything in the authentic narrations of Salat al-Istikhara that stipulates mentioning or reciting قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ or قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. But, he said, it is suitable and appropriate if someone wants to say those two surahs after Surah Al-Fatiha, because in these two particular surahs and in the salah, the intention of it has to do with al-ikhlas, with sincerity and raghba. Al-ikhlas al-raghba, or sincerity of desire and truthfulness of the attainment of the desire. And also denying that there's no one worthy of worship except Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In those two surahs, you specifically see that theme. So Al-Iraqi says there's no problem with making those two surahs after Al-Fatiha, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The last thing we wanted to mention, and then we'll come back inshallah next week, is when is the dua of al-istikhara recited? When is the dua of al-istikhara recited? Is it recited in the salah before you make the tasleem, or is it recited after the salah, after you make the tasleem? The ulama say, some of them, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement, when you have an important matter, then make wudu and make it well, then make two raka'ah, then say, and then he mentioned the dua of al-istikhara. The ulama who say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement, فَلْيَقُلْ, then he should say, after he's made the salat al-istikhara, of course, indicates that the dua of al-istikhara is said immediately after the tasleem, not within the salah itself. But there are other ulama who say that this is done in the salah itself, and it seems as though the strongest of the opinions is that this dua is made after the salah itself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Inshallah, when we return the next lesson, we will be answering the question, is Salat al-Istikhara repeated? Do you make Salat al-Istikhara more than once? That's one of the questions that we'll be answering, inshallah. And also, is it okay to make the dua of al-Istikhara after the obligatory prayers? And also, can the dua of al-istikhara be done before you make the suraka? Before you make the suraka. And other questions, inshallah, like what does the person do after they made the salat al-istikhara? What is their next move? Inshallah. Subhanakallah wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.